Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Movement to Restore Trust, a group of lay Catholics formed last year to address the diocese's handling of clergy sex abuse cases, is out with its initial report. And joining us live this morning, Canisius College President John Hurley. He's a member of that panel. John, good morning. It's initial report, which makes me think that this is just the beginning of your work.
I think so, Susan. We say initial because these reports that we're releasing today were done in a very condensed time frame last winter, from about December until March. And it was our first look at several areas that we felt needed to be addressed, not only with the handling of the sex abuse cases in the diocese, but with the culture in the church and in the diocese that gave rise to these problems in the first place. So there's much work to be done. We view this as the beginning of a discussion with the diocese, and our hopes are running high for this.
Yeah, the beginning of the discussion. So that doesn't mean by this report that you feel like you've solved these issues.
No, this document, I think, has to be viewed as a framework for a discussion. Remember, these are 150 lay people coming at this from all sorts of perspectives. Not to be demeaning, but it's more or less amateurs who really are not, we're not well versed in canon law or church history, but delving into this and giving it their best shot. And I think the reports we're releasing reflect a passion about the church, a sense of frustration about what's happened, but some very good thinking about what might be done. And it's the perspective of the laity, which really throughout the reports comes through, that the laity believes that it needs to step up and take a leadership role here.
All right, let's look at some of the findings. And as I glance through this, I mean, it is 68 pages. I keep seeing the word transparency. Is that a key?
It is a key. I think people felt a lot of times that whether it was how decisions are reached with respect to accused priests or finances of the diocese or how bishops are selected, it was very opaque. And people want that to be open and transparent.
In addition to transparency, there's also accountability, which is a factor here. A lot of the focus has been put on monetary compensation, some of the settlement offers from the diocese, the Child Victims Act, of course, and the ongoing legal battles there. But does accountability also talk to how these cases are handled internally and externally? Do you feel there's a need for maybe law enforcement to be involved to a greater extent than they have been in the past?
Well, you need to keep in mind that as of 2002, when the Spotlight series first broke in Boston and the Dallas Charter was adopted, that law enforcement has been involved. New cases of sex abuse are immediately reported to law enforcement. So what we're really talking about with the majority of the sex abuse cases is are things that happened many years ago that hadn't been disclosed to law enforcement, and now we're dealing with the aftermath of that. But today, yeah, law enforcement is involved. So that's something we're not as concerned about because we really feel that was addressed back in 2002.
John, let me ask you about greater involvement by the laity and especially women in the church. Where did the panel weigh in on that?
We had one group dealing specifically with that issue, and we started out talking about the greater involvement of with women in the church and how that might happen. You know, you immediately begin to run into church doctrine and canon law and what might be done. I think our report reflects some hopes and aspirations in that regard, that women would have a greater role. But even in other areas of the report, like in the Diocesan Finance Council, we have we've urged, and the bishop accepted our recommendation. We have, you know, more women being appointed to that board. So we're looking every place in the diocese where there is power and where there is decision making, and we're asking ourselves, are women sufficiently involved here? And we're going to continue to push for that.
Your group has kind of stood, maybe it's putting it wrong way to say standing behind Bishop Malone, but not calling for his resignation is where the group has kind of landed. Is that still true? And even with that, Bishop Malone is to stay here. He's not around for that many more years just because of the laws already in place by the church. What would you like to see in the process of finding a new bishop?
Well, you're asking a lot there. Number one, we are working with the bishop, and we are encouraged at his response so far. We also agree that he's got 2 years to run before he must submit his retirement letter to the Pope, and then it could be another year or so beyond that before we have a replacement. And frankly, as I look at it, to wait 3 years before we get on with some of these things would not be in the best interests of the church or the faithful. So we're taking the opportunity now to work with Bishop Malone and to see what can be accomplished. And then going forward, we think that this effort will position the laity to make our feelings known to the Apostolic Nuncio in Washington, who is the Pope's delegate here to the United States, and to the Vatican itself as to what Buffalo needs in the way of leadership of this diocese going forward. And we're hoping that the next bishop, and I think Bishop Malone shares this view too, that the next bishop will inherit a situation that where reform is underway, the laity is involved, and the spirit of Vatican II is alive and well in Buffalo.
John, we appreciate your help with this, and I know your work is continuing with the panel. That's Canisius College President John Hurley with the Movement to Restore Trust.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.